As I say, the church has been so programized that he hasn't had a chance to speak. It is said according to the scriptures that when we get up to preach, that God himself would be speaking and it would not be the individual, and that it would be the anointing. And I say again, when I talk, I know that's these vocal organs here. I understand that it's a man's brain. I understand it's a man's vocal organs. And I understand that it's a human being's crude expression. I realize all of those things. But at the same time, I am aware of the fact that is using my vocal organs. It is God's Spirit that is using the vocal organs that I have. It is God's Spirit that's using my brain at that time. It's like the wind blowing through the willow. It's the willow, you know, that's used to make the sound. You blow through the reed and the reed makes the sound. Or so it seems. But in reality, without the wind, there is no sound. So then the same wind that can go through a reed and make a sound can also go through a willow and make a sound. Or through a barn door and make a sound. So it is God, the eternal Spirit of life, that is expressing himself from within a human form. As Moses taught, he is hid behind the badger's skin. And in that he is hid behind the badger's skin, he is deep within the holies of holies, giving his expression of life. We're taught that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here is the kingdom, or lo, there is the kingdom. For God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and not a tangible kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom, and the Bible teaches that it is within a human heart. For the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. That's really something when you think about the kingdom of God being preached. The kingdom of God can be preached in that it is a spiritual thing. Now, to understand the kingdom of God is something that's exceedingly great. There is no knowledge that can be compared to it. I want to read from the book of St. Mark, beginning down at the first chapter and the first verse. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. All right, I want to take a thought or two here and talk with you just a little bit concerning the kingdom of God. There's a great and marvelous thing that is taking place in the world today. Most people will never be able to see it. They'll never be able to see nor to understand just exactly what is taking place. And the reason for this is because they are so preoccupied with their way of life or the things of life. But honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I say this, that if any individual, man or woman, every one time gets a true glimpse of God and of the kingdom of God, they will never again be interested in the world. Never again. There is no comparison when you think of the things of the world and you think of God. God has suffered that they that be of the world, that have this, the things of the world, He has suffered that they be blinded to the spiritual things of God, for the simple reason that it is referred to as the inheritance of Esau, whereas Jacob has received the birthright. Whereas the terms was used, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. Now, how have you followed what I'm saying? There is nothing wrong with having the goods of this world if they are used according to godliness. God gives them to us. He said that I would that you prosper. I would that you be in health. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. If you will honor the Lord with thy substance, if you will honor the Lord with the first fruits of thine increase, if you will set your affection on things above where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt, if you will do this, then God is willing for you to be blessed in the materialistic things of life. But if not, though God will give you the materialistic values of life, yet God will blind you to the great things of heaven. And the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. In that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of the people that they should not see with their eyes, that they should not hear with their ears. And so then he hath blinded them. Because if they saw the things that we see, they would become so discouraged in their way of life and with the things that they have until God would not have anybody to carry on the counterpart of life or the antitype of the reality of God. So then he does not suffer them to see the greater. It's like a poor man. If a real poor fellow that's satisfied with beans and bread and a plow stock, if he could see the finer side of life and see the riches and the wealth and the comforts and the convenience and be exposed to them for just a little while, he would find himself despising his way of life unless God allowed him to see the sorrows of those that are in those positions and the heartaches. Now you understand what I'm saying? So then it is a great thing that is taking place. How great and how marvelous this thing is. My heart thrills when I think of the greatness of God and the power of Christ. And when I think of how that God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and made them revelation unto babes such as will learn. I said the other day, we asked the question, Brother Pike, how could God hide these things? How could He do it? He has done this by putting it abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. Therefore, it is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond our learning. We cannot go to seminary and get it. We cannot study many books and find it. There is only one way that we can receive it. And that is, as the Bible tells us, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might reveal it to us from heaven. For he has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and made it revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn. You follow me? So then, it makes God have the preeminence in all things. Because if I could learn this, if I could get it by my own intellectual power, then I would be head and shoulders above my brethren. I could lord over my brethren. I could control things and be a lord over the heritage of God, which God forbids. But in that I cannot obtain unto it as a human being, then it gives God the preeminence. And whatever God wants to do, he does. And whatever God wants to say, he says it. And nobody can do anything about it. And if I get it, then he has to reveal it to me. So then you say, Brother Pike, if it's beyond your comprehension, then how can you get it? I can get it through the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the mind that lived in Christ Jesus, was made heir to the glory of the eternal Spirit. And the things of the eternal Spirit was given to him because he pleased God. And today I am heir to those things through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul uses the terms, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it is the mind that knoweth all things. The mind of God knoweth all things. And though the world says that God doesn't want us to know some things, yet the Bible tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. There is nothing that God does not want us to know. And when you hear people say there's certain things that God doesn't want you to know, they're mistaken. They may be sincere about it, but they're wrong. Honestly, sincerely wrong. Because God has given us an unction that we should know all things. We are the sons of God. And inasmuch as we are the sons of God, then all things are ours. Whether earth, whether heaven, whether life, whether death, whatever, we own everything because we are the dignitaries of heaven. How do you understand what I'm saying? I read to you here where it said the law and the prophets were until John. Now I may refer back to this chart as I'm teaching, I may not. But I like to have it up here anyway. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. I want to take my time as I try to get you into my thoughts this morning. Some people are slow to grasp your thoughts, and you have to take your time to be able to collect all of them together to get them moving with you in the Spirit. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Since the coming of John, the kingdom of God has been preached. Before the coming of John, the kingdom of God had never been preached. Never. Why is it that the kingdom of God had never been preached before John? Because the kingdom of God had never come into this world. You know, when we think about the kingdom of God, what we do, we think about something that's way off somewhere. That we can't get to, that we don't know anything about. Something that's mysterious, something that's coming someday. But that's wrong. That's wrong. There is a kingdom of God that is already here. Already here. And the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. The kingdom of God, since the days of John, has been preached to humanity. No kingdom of God before John was ever preached. But since the time of John, now the kingdom of God is preached, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now in your presence. I like that. Hallelujah. And now he said, the kingdom of God. He said, it's now within your reach. Before John, before Jesus came, you could not obtain unto it. God had set it beyond your thinking, beyond your comprehension, beyond your reach. But when Jesus came into the world as a mediator between man and God, the kingdom of God then came within reach. The kingdom of God then came to such a place that I myself may be partakers of it. That is why that we have stressed the kingdom of God the way we have. That is why we have pressed upon you to make you know the necessity of being either in the world or the kingdom of God. You have to go one way or another. You cannot be in between. If you want anything, go with the world or go with God. If you go with the world, then you can enjoy sin for a season. If you go with God, you can have eternal substance. But if you get in between, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold. A lot of people say, well, I'll just go with the world. But see, to go with the world means those that do not have their understanding open. God can have mercy on Israel because Israel is blinded. God can have mercy on those people in the world because their eyes are not open. With all of their great intelligence, their eyes are not open. Therefore, God can have mercy on them. God can have mercy on the church because they're pleasing God and doing the things that God wants them to do. But brothers and sisters, when we learn about God, when we understand right from wrong, when God tells us what we have to do, and then we fail to do it, having a knowledge of it, it grieves God, and God has no more use for us. And he spews us out of his mouth. Nothing but heartaches and troubles and sicknesses and woes and problems. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, as long as we are blind, we're considered cold. I've heard people, you know, they say, Brother Pike, I'm going to be hot or cold. I know that what you're preaching is right. I understand that God's ways is right. I've heard it. But I'm just going to be cold and go back out in the world. You can't do that. Once you know about God, you can never be cold anymore. Once you know about God, there's only one thing that you can be, and that's in between. So then they that do not know about God, they are considered cold in his sight. They don't understand. Therefore, God gives grace to them. That's like Israel. They that are considered hot in God's eyes, burning with the fervency of the Spirit of God, they are the church. They are considered blessed in the sight of God. But they that know to do good and do not do it, the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and will not do it, he shall die, because that is sin in the sight of God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? If a blind man was in your house and he was bumping into something that was very precious to you, and if he caused that thing to be damaged or destroyed, you might be hurt because it was a treasure. But you wouldn't rail on the blind man because he couldn't see. You'd give him mercy. Isn't that right? If the person that had given it to you come in, and if they done something to it not meaning to, and you knew that they didn't mean to do it because they were the ones that treasured you and it enough to give it to you, you wouldn't rail on them, though you would be hurt. But let a person come in that had nothing to do with it, that knew better than to tear it up, and just being mean and wretched, they tore it up. Then you'd be ready to rail on them, wouldn't you? That's the way it is with God. You tear the things of God up, the Bible said, I will destroy them that destroys the earth. You blow the earth up with your intelligence by bums. You tear up God's body of people by carelessness through drinking and having wrecks, tearing the arms and limbs off of little children, crippling up people. And someday God will destroy you. So then, since John, there is the light that is coming to the world. Jesus said, I am that light. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. And to them that sat in the regions of the shadows of death, great light has sprung up. And the day star from on high has visited them. And he said to them, they that overcome, I will give unto you the bright and the morning star, which is the mind of Christ, the revelation of Jesus. I will place it within your heart. And that star that's called the day star, which means Jesus, the Christ, the wise men saw his star in the east. That star that will rule in the millennium, sitting upon the throne of David. He calls that 1,000 years of rest a perfect day. The day of restoration, the day like 1,000 years with Christ. And he said, this day star will shine more and more under that perfect day of restoration that's coming out yonder in the future. Hallelujah. That day when the great government of God shall be upon the earth. Now then we pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven when thy kingdom comes. And Jesus said unto them, they said, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, this is the way to pray, children of God. I want my will done on earth. I have my will done in heaven, but since the fall of the garden experience, my will is not done in the earth. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, God has his will in everything. No, he doesn't. He has his way in everything, but not his will in everything. Now you say, why do you say that? Because the Bible said that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. That is to make it come out in the end the way it ought to come out. But it doesn't have his will done. Why? Because the Bible tells us it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. He said to the rich, to the poor, to the needy, to all of them, that it is my will that they repent. It is not God's will that people be sick and in poverty. It's not God's will. You say, why then is there people in poverty? Because of sin. Why then are there people sick? Because in working all things after the counsel of the mind of God and the will of God, as long as there is sin, sick souls in the world, there has to be a starving human being. There has to be a body that will typically introduce to the human mind the understanding of the curse of sin. All of the things that are natural in the world are here because of sin. If they are polluted, if there's something that's corrupt, it's because of sin. God has no other way to express himself to us, no other way to tell us of his state of being, to let us know of the non-existent God as far as human beings are concerned. He is non-existent to us because we do not comprehend him till we come into Christ. Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you. So then he existed to the mind of God. Is that right? For how can God deny him own self? Hallelujah. So then, all of these things are typical. Once sin is eradicated from the earth, once it is moved out of the earth, once it is taken out of the heart of mankind, there will be no more perversion. There will be no more corrupt government. There will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more heartaches. That's why the Bible tells us that we're waiting, groaning. The entire world, the earth, is groaning. They're waiting for the manifestation of the true living sons of God. God has sons that are great powers and dignitaries that is to come into this world. And those sons have the mind of the living God. And the earth is waiting for the manifestation of those great powers and dignitaries, that they may overthrow the evils of this world, and that they may undo the heavy burden burden that's placed upon those that are in need, that they may establish in the earth the great government of God and bring in that perfect day. So then, in the light of all of these things, how can I overcome sickness? Not through medical research. God has suffered medical research to be here to ease the pressure and the pain, to help. But that is no way to overthrow it. God cannot eradicate sin from this earth as long as there is a knowledge of sin. Oh, I wish we had about 2 months to go into that and talk to you about it. Hallelujah. It's in the world because of a perverted knowledge that broke from the garden experience. It's in the world today. But oh, the beauties of that world before that knowledge ever came. Before that warped, twisted up tree of knowledge ever introduced its corrupt fruits and corrupt ways of life. Oh, the beauty of that world that was with Adam and Eve. The beauty and splendor of that earth without death hovering over people, without a heavy overcast to rob them of the joys and splendors of living. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time that must have been. A time when you could feel the presence of God like I feel him right now. Hallelujah. When he walked through the garden. So then the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time we're preaching the restoration of the kingdom of the living God. Since that time we're bringing forth words, Jesus said, that are spirit and are life. Words that come from God. Words of power and of creation. So then this great mind of God, let it be in you, Jesus said. It was in me as I walked the earth, he said. Let it be within you, for it brought me peace. It brought me joy. And in spite of all of the outward conflict, it's like the storm that's raging on the outside and the lightning flashing through the heavens and the thunder rolling, like the contrary winds blowing in the dust storms and the hail storms. But on the inside of the house, there is peace, there is security, there is happiness. The one that occupies that from within is at peace. Hallelujah. That's the way it is when you are a Christian. Because the old outer person, the Esau of contrariness that is denied the birthright through the fall of Adam, that old man, by the death of Jesus, is appointed unto death and is cut off from the land of the living and is appointed unto death unto the day of the redemption of the body. But that inner man has by faith in the word of spirit and life passed from death unto life and has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Not going to be translated into it. Not waiting for a certain time. But the Bible says that God hath right now translated us into his marvelous kingdom. Because God is a spirit. Jesus is that quickening spirit that has resurrected us from death. And has given unto us life, eternal life. And here we are today, and the presence of God is with us. And the kingdom of God is here. And the Bible said, if two or three of you gather together in the name Jesus, then the eternal spirit and the resurrected Christ, who is made a quickening spirit, would be in the midst of you. And here we are gathered together in his name. And here he is in the midst of us. And though we're not able to see through natural eyes, yet through the eyes of our understanding, as they are enlightened, then we're able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. Hallelujah. It's like a physician. A physician, he looks at you with his natural eyes. He cannot tell of your inward condition. You may be dying of a dreadful disease, but because the eyes of his understanding has been enlightened, he knows the reactions of a human body under certain conditions. He knows.
knows when he looks at you and sees your state of affairs. He knows the inward condition. Is that right? He knows because he sees the signs of it. He can tell. And he can look on you. Whereas another person may look and say, well, you look healthy to me. The physician can look at you and say, you've only got 6 months to live. Why? Because the eyes of his understanding has been enlightened. And so it is with us. I can look at you today and I can tell something that another person would not be able to tell. You can look at me and tell something, Jim, that another person would not be able to know. Because the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened. And you can comprehend the heights and the depths and the width of the things of God. And you're made to understand what God is doing. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So then, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, this great knowledge of God has been in the earth. Why is it that we have the great, beautiful cathedrals of today? Why is it that we have the great, towering buildings that look like they reach up to the heavens? Why is it that we have the modern machinery and the modern automobiles as they race up and down the road? Why is it that we're able to take a trip from here over to the moon? It's because of somebody's understanding. It was somebody that looked and saw that before it ever became a materialized thing. Is that right? Before it ever become a manifested thing, there were scientists in the earth, men of brilliance that had sought it out, that God revealed it to. As Benjamin Franklin, when he flew the little simple kite. And there in the little simple kite, he latched on to something great and mighty. It is no wonder he also had to do with the independence of the United States. No wonder he had to do with it. Hallelujah, because he represented something great and mighty. When we see that, we think how simple that was. And we say he discovered that. But friend, he never discovered that. God revealed it to him. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? There's a great world today. Because somebody saw it before it was. And through perseverance and carefulness, they brought it into existence to where I could enjoy it. So is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It is somewhere. Hallelujah. Before I was ever a prophet, the prophet said, before I ever came into existence, David said, all of my members was written down in his book. Hallelujah. He knew about me before I ever came. How do you understand what I'm saying? Let's just look just a few minutes. Some of you know what I'm fixing to say. Some of you don't. But in the life of Benjamin Franklin, what was it? There was something that had been hid. But he latched on to it. And he took a simple little kite and put it into the air. And there, maybe a key or something on the string. And there, through that, he contacted the powers of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can see that in the natural because the history book tells you that. But when you look at it through the spiritual, and you look and see that little old kite, and you remember how you made it when you was a boy. I've made lots of them. Then you know that it was a cross flying high in the air. Like a little child on the other end of it, I stand here with a string. I feel the tug of it. God says to me, here is the key, Peter, to the kingdom of God. And that little key to knowledge that he spoke of, dangling out there on the string. And all of a sudden, by just pulling, I sent him out of sight. Couldn't see him anymore. Had to hold it by faith because I couldn't tell it was out there except for the tugging. Nobody could see it. I couldn't show him my kite. But I could feel the tug on it. I knew it was still there. How many feel the tug on the string? Hallelujah, it was still there. And that little cross between heaven and earth, as Jesus hung there, had to be illustrated in the earth by the magnificence of a man by the name of Benjamin Franklin. Franklin means free man. How do you know that? By a free man, the light had to be illustrated. And Benjamin goes back to the Jews, which is the ruler of the earth. How do you know that? The head of the earth. And there, that little cross between heaven and earth, a door open in heaven, John said. And there, that little door open in heaven, and the light, Jesus said, as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And there, the same way that that lightning flashed from the east unto the west and came through that little cross and came down that little string that was so straight, narrow, and tight, came to the key and unlocked the mysteries of earth that scientists might walk into a land of light, out of a world of darkness, into a power that can run machinery, power that can fly airplanes, a power that can cook our biscuits when we're hungry, a power that can keep us warm when we're cold. All of the necessities of life given to us through that one thing to illustrate Calvary. And with that came the signing of a new declaration of independence. Hallelujah! And today we're free from the bondages of life and the terrors of this world, sicknesses and poverties and oppressions, whereas the old world had taxed them so that they couldn't take it. And God brought them to a new world. Hallelujah. Somebody said the Nina Pina, the Santa Maria, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're a little compact there at the Mayflower compact. And it brought about a great world. How do you understand what I'm saying? And so then, that little Calvary that we speak of, through that came the light. From that came the great light of God. And today we've got light. Why? Because the law and the prophets were until John, until Calvary. And since that time, Benjamin Franklin has introduced the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I go away, but now you're the light of the world. Hallelujah. And John said, this light we have handled with our own hands. The words of life, he said, we've seen it, we've handled it. This great light, and since that time, we have an independency through Christ that we are not creatures of darkness, but creatures of light. And God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, because to be carnally minded is death and darkness. From the fall of the tree of knowledge in the garden, though it looks promising in this life, but to be spiritually minded and have the mind of Christ is life and peace. And this great mind is life. And Jesus said, I've got the mind of God. I've got the spirit of life. I am the light of the world. And then he turned to you and he said, thy spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he said to the virgins, arise and trim your lamps. Arise and trim your lamps. Get the smut off of the globe. Trim the old wick. I remember as a boy in the country. Trim the old wick. Grandma said, get the smut off and then the light will shine through. That's where the trouble is the smut. Amen. The middle wall of partition. The veil between you and God. But Jesus broke it down at Calvary. We don't have to be in bondage anymore. Hallelujah. Faith has done away with the keeping of carnal ordinances in the world. And today we are the children of freedom and the children of light. And we can be, and we are, by his marvelous grace, translated into the marvelous kingdom of a living God. For his kingdom is joy and peace and righteousness in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this in close. John said, I am your brother. I am your companion in the faith, in the tribulation, and in the kingdom of God. All right. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your attention. A lot of things we would like to say this morning, could say. But I feel that we've said what the Lord wanted. The song tells us. The songwriter said, what a day that shall be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When I take him by the hand and he leads me to that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day. Hallelujah, what a day that shall be. I like to sing that little song, that little chorus that we sang, take it to the Lord and leave it there.
I have a lot of problems, and I'm sure that you do. Sure that all of you have a lot of problems. And many times, I wouldn't know what to do with them, except that I remember Jesus. I remember Jesus, like the little song I heard the other day of the story about the little boy named Jimmy that kept coming and saying, "This is Jesus, this is Jimmy, Jesus. This is Jimmy." Said he didn't know how to pray, but he just come and said, "This is Jimmy, Jesus." The story related that something happened and the little boy lost his life, but said as he was dying, there was a voice that filled the room. And a light lit the room up and said, become illuminated, and said, the voice said, "This is Jesus, Jimmy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Just to hear him at the last moment say, "This is Jesus." Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus together. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Let's lift our hands and love him, can we? Hallelujah. Go leave it back. Oh, leave it back. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and people are sick today around the world. They're sick. Doctors can't help them. Though the doctors are trying to do something for them, they can't help them. So the Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicines, that God may turn humanity to him and that he might be the only source of help. Said in that day no man shall save them, though they be great orators. Only Jesus will have the answer, that he may have the preeminence in all things. And said he alone in that day shall be exalted. So then, when you've got troubles and you've got pains, I like to think of it like this. The song says, if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you get a long Omega belt, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to there. Sing it one more time with me. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You know, the other day when I was looking at the book and I saw those poor, helpless people, those mental cases, little retarded girls, some of them 15 and 16 years old, but like little babies, running with their little hands outstretched, couldn't see, blind, just feeling along, as they run down a rail, hearing the voice of those that they loved. I tell you, folks, it tore me up. I just had to go in the back bedroom and shut the door. I couldn't take it. And I thought, here I am, strong and healthy and can see. I don't have any complaints. I don't have any problems. Those people are confined to a world of darkness all of their life, all the days of their life. And I could see the smile on their faces. The pictures were so plain. And I thought, Lord, how can I be like I am? How can I do that? How can I complain, God? I don't have any complaints. And it really tore me up. And then I think again so many times, what are we doing, folks? What are we doing for the needy? Like the song said about the blind beggar. Maybe you're comforted, maybe you're asleep, maybe everything's going well with you at night. But I've seen the pictures of little bitty children where the homes had been blown to pieces and they had nothing left, and poverty had hit like the earthquake down in South America. And I've seen pictures where a little old bitty boy, maybe the little boy looked like he might have been maybe 9, 10 years old. And had his little old brother that was maybe 3 or 4 years old. No daddy, no mother, nobody. Leading him by the hand would take a piece of pasteboard that he would find and lay down on the street at night and wrap his little brother up in it. I don't know what that does to you, but that does something to me. That's more than I can take when I look at pictures like that. And my heart bleeds. And I hear the voice of God. He'll say, who'll go for me? Who can I send? And I think, Lord, here am I, send me. Send me, oh God. I don't know how to do. I don't know what to do, but I'll do the best I can if you'll send me. And then I think about you. Some of you know how to do, and you know what to do, and you could do. And then I wonder if you're planning to do anything. But folks, that's the only pure and undefiled religion that I know that will touch the heart of God. Nothing else won't touch the heart of God. Though you fast many days, he said, this is not the fast that I've chosen. Though you go away in solitude many days, disfurnish yourself, give your bodies to be burned, he said, but if you have not charity, it don't profit you anything. A clean heart, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Charity thinketh no evil. That's what really counts. Do you really care for him? Do you? Do you?